Welcome back to the Irish NFL show with me, Noel Dowling. With the draft now just less than a week away, I'm delighted to have Greg Braggs from CHGO join the show just to talk through what the Bears may or may not do, given they have the number one and number nine pick in this year's draft. Greg, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's early where you are at the moment, so you're doing me a big favor jumping in, so I really appreciate that. Well, Greg, when we kind of jump in, say, the offseason before we touch off the draft and stuff, because obviously the Bears have been fascinating for the last couple of years with the Ryan Poles and the new front office in there and then trades that got us number one picks. And they kind of feel like the last year or two, they've been the center of the NFL universe. And going into this draft is no different with number one and number nine. But when you look at this offseason as a whole, with, you know, players we've lost, like Cody Whitehair, Eddie Jackson, kind of long-term players and a lot of new players coming in, how have you found the offseason? I know for a while, as we both probably find out as Bear fans, Twitter got a little bit interesting for a little while when it came to quarterback. So yeah. How have you kind of found the offseason as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was a lot of vitriol between Bears fans. I mean, Bears fans are always divided. Bears fans have never agreed on the quarterback my lifetime. I mean, we've never had, you know, a very successful run at any quarterback we've had, whether, and you know, even dating back to Orton versus Grossman, I can remember going to training camps where people would be taunting Rex Grossman the year after the Super Bowl, you know, and saying, so I remember a fan yelling, same old Rex, different day, you know, and that was a team and a quarterback that had just made the Super Bowl. So our fan base has always been hard on the quarterbacks and hard on each other about who they think should be the quarterback. And it definitely reached a tipping point with this debate between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. So when you talk about, you know, this changeover from old players to new, that there's no bigger story than that. And, you know, to see the fan base in the final game of Justin Fields' career as a Bear chanting, "We want Fields." And that was a pretty profound moment. I mean, he was beloved in this city in a way that a lot of players have never reached, especially when you consider the lack of success the team had while he was quarterback. Obviously, not all completely his fault. You know, there was obviously a lot of roster issues and the rebuild right in the middle of his development and tenure. So, you know, but at the same time, Bears fans really, really stood by this dude. And so then to get into the offseason and kind of transition to what felt like was an eventuality that Caleb Williams would become a Chicago Bear was a transition for a lot of fans. So, you know, the fighting was tough to see because, you know, for me as somebody that just really prides myself as a fan in the stands, like I don't enjoy constantly fighting with my fellow Bears fans. I enjoy going to the tailgate and having a drink with you. I enjoy, you know, celebrating wins with you as fans. And so it has been nice since the trade finally happened of Justin Fields and the Steelers to watch the fan base kind of start to circle back to being excited. And now we're debating what they should do at nine instead of fighting about who the franchise quarterback should be, which to me is a healthier conversation. But you're right, the Bears are certainly in the center of the football universe. And for the first time ever, pretty much, I mean, I know the Bears had a number one pick in like 1956 or whatever, but for the first time ever, you know, when the commissioner walks to the podium here on Thursday night, the number one pick will be selected by the Chicago Bears. And it's going to be a pretty cool moment, and I'm very excited to get there.
Yeah, as you talked about being excited. I mean, when you look at Caleb Williams now, how do you feel about the prospect of this player coming in? Obviously, again, so much goes with Caleb Williams. People talk about this off the field and that off the field and personality and attitude and whatever they may see. But I mean, when you look at film on the field, even though last season wasn't the most successful for him, I mean, I think maybe just as a Bears fan, I'm a bit biased, but you can put a lot of that down to, you know, the defense he had on his team, where he pretty much knew if I don't score 35, 40 points, we'd probably lose this game.
Right.
And maybe that puts a bit of an urgency in him to to go a bit hero ball, as they say, go a bit more than he would normally need to, because he feels, as the leader of that team, that he has to put that on his shoulders and win that game. But when you look at just the player as a whole, like, how are you, how excited are you, or not, for Caleb Williams to come to Chicago? And what do you think at this point, you know, he can develop to be, or what do you hope he can develop to be?
Well, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, this is the best prospect the Chicago Bears have ever had coming into their organization. I don't think that that's hyperbole. And now, all due respect to some of the great players that have come through this organization, but none of them came in with the number one pick, quarterback, best quarterback coming out of the draft stature that this guy has had. They've drafted some great players, no doubt about it, you know, but this guy coming in, you know, is compared to the likes of Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, and even Peyton Manning in terms of quarterback prospects. In a time, you know, quarterback is always the most important position in all of sports, but nowadays, especially the way the game is played and the league is with quarterbacks, I mean, this is the most highly touted prospect in Chicago. I mean, when Justin Fields was drafted, we rejoiced when Ryan Pace traded up to 11 to take the fourth quarterback taken in the draft, you know, and this is the number one quarterback coming out. Now you'll say, well, Mitch Trubisky was the first quarterback taken up. Well, they should have taken Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to fault them as much for not drafting Patrick Mahomes, as much as it hurts that we missed on that opportunity. But Deshaun Watson was the clear and obvious pick, and they took a real risk, you know, going and swinging for the fences with Mitch Trubisky. With this, this is the obvious, clear and obvious pick. And so my expectations for Caleb Williams, not only from a prospect standpoint and the opinions of many people that break down the game better than me, but as someone that has watched Caleb Williams over the last 2.5 years, my expectations are through the roof. I think this guy could become very quickly the best quarterback in Chicago Bears franchise history. Now, again, I've been wrong before. I thought that for Mitch. I thought that for Justin Fields to a larger extent. You know, and essentially because the bar is so low here in Chicago to become the best quarterback in franchise history, we just need one of these quarterbacks to work out and not be what is quote-unquote deemed a bust. And so then beyond just being the best quarterback in franchise history, being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL is a whole nother echelon that I think that Caleb Williams can get to. I think that that's a threshold he can meet. And so I'm excited to see it, but I don't put a cap on it. Everybody's like, oh, I want to temper my expectations because I don't want to be let down and the Bears have blown it so many times. I get that. But for me, you know, I'm pushing all my chips in once again, and I'm all in. Now, will I try to keep an open mind to how long his developmental process will take? Sure, I'll try my best to keep an open mind. And I also expect Caleb Williams to come out and throw for 400 yards his first week of the year. So, you know, it's like one of those things as a fan. I mean, the guy makes all the plays. You can talk about his circus plays all you want outside the pocket, and everybody questions, well, can he play in structure? I'm here to tell you he can play in structure. He can make the simple throws look great. The things that are most impressive about him are some of the things he does not throwing the ball, just climbing the pocket, the way he steps up, moves left, moves right, the way he can really feel the pressure behind his back. Sometimes he'll duck his shoulder a certain way to avoid a sack. He's got some real moxie in the pocket and confidence back there. Then when you look at some of the throws, I mean, he can throw a 70-yard ball on a dime down the field. He can throw a back shoulder throw. Some of his back shoulder throws last year were some of my favorite throws that I saw from his arsenal. He can rip it, man. He can sling the rock. You know, there's always these comparisons to Patrick Mahomes stylistically, but there's also a lot of Aaron Rodgers in this guy And it was, oh, slow. Well, that's the kind of prospect that we have coming in here to the Chicago Bears. And I could not be more excited. And my expectations are sky high for this guy, and as it should be. I know the Bears have no history to back up that kind of confidence, but at the end of the day, that's the type of prospect coming in. I mean, when Trevor Lawrence went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't have some rich history of quarterbacks, but he was a great quarterback prospect coming to an organization. So there's a certain expectation level you have with those type of guys, and that's who Caleb Williams is.
No, when you talk about expectations and everything you've kind of said there, I'm absolutely right there with you. I think if you're a fan, you know, you need to be able to enjoy the good things, the good times and the potentially good times, which we're sitting in here now. And the Bears look really, really well set up going forward. And I mean, enjoy it. As you say, look, we've been hurt before. It can happen. But if you're constantly just upset about it, you'll never enjoy those moments that could potentially be there for you to have fun with. So I can't wait till he comes in. I think he can be a really, really top quarterback. And just in terms of helping them get to that point, Greg, when you look at the moves they kind of made in the offseason, you know, we brought in Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett's going there with Cole Kmet. They've kind of buffed up the offensive line a bit with players like Ryan Bates, who they've been chasing for a couple of years, and Coleman Shelton came in. They definitely needed a center. Do you think Ryan Poles and the front office and the coaching staff, along with obviously the new hires in terms of the OC in Baldwin, do you think they've put a good structure in place for a rookie quarterback like Caleb Williams to come in to just give him that little bit of an extra chance? Maybe they've learned from previous regimes who brought in a Rex Grossman or brought in Justin Fields and never really gave them the pieces around them to actually benefit and develop them. Do you like what the Bears have done to give Caleb Williams a chance to reach that potential when he comes into the team?
Yeah, I absolutely do. From a personnel standpoint, I think the biggest question now is how these coaches that they brought in develop the quarterback and execute a new offense into a whole new system for the team. That's a question we can't really answer until we get to training camp and the regular season, and we give this some years to marinate. You know, that stuff takes time, and fans are going to get ahead of themselves, including me, as far as how we feel they should play right out the gate. But, you know, this is a new offense. This is a rookie quarterback, and this is a whole new, you know, offensive coaching staff all the way down the line. Shane Waldron as an OC, you've got, you know, Kerry Joseph, you've got a passing game coordinator, you got a run game coordinator, you got a quarterbacks coach, you got a quarterback specialist, you got all these different coaches that are here to kind of be a great, circle for Caleb. Now they've got to put it into execution here. And so I'm optimistic, but we don't know until we see how they do as coaches. Now, from a personnel standpoint, all the named players you just mentioned, DeAndre Swift at running back, you know, potentially a wide receiver with their second pick at 9 or an offensive lineman to double down on, you know, drafting Darnell Wright last year. You know, personnel wise, I think they check all the boxes. They're not too far away on either side of the ball from, you know, their starting spots really having some really nice pieces. Now they need to continue to work on building depth. But when you talk about, you know, how the, you know, Rex Grossman or Jay Cutler or Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, you know, and how this team was built, like when Rex came in, he came into a team that was ready, and the quarterback came in, and then the team, you know, made their way to the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman won Player of the Month, you know, at one point on their way to the Super Bowl. Like, he was not a perfect quarterback by any means, but the team around him was so good that it made him look very good. Now, Kyle Orton kind of had a little bit of that same thing. Well, Jay Cutler, it was the reverse. When he came in, we had the quarterback, but then we had to try to build the team around the quarterback. And it, timing-wise, it never lined up. And so that's the difference. Now, Mitch Trubisky, you fast forward to 2018, he comes to a team where the team was built, and he comes into it. Now, Mitch Trubisky, like Rex Grossman, a flawed quarterback, but they were able to find playoff success or get to the playoffs at the very least. And Mitch Trubisky, even at points, looked very good, you know, in his second season. So Justin Fields was the reverse. They didn't have the team around him, but they thought they had the quarterback. So the timing didn't work up. So this time around, they seem to have a team built where a quarterback is coming into it. And so that, to me, is the healthy approach. And you could argue, from a rookie quarterback standpoint, that there's probably no better situation that certainly a number one pick rookie quarterback has ever come into than what Caleb Williams is coming into. A team that won 7 games last year, could have won 8 or 9, arguably. And, you know, and the kind of talent that you mentioned, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, potentially a wide receiver or another offensive lineman. I mean, they're loaded in a lot of ways. So, you know, Caleb Williams is coming into a really good situation, but I think the biggest question is going to be the coaching staff and how they're able to do right by this particular player and the organization in general.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's really up to those guys now to take these players and to develop something from it there. You mentioned, obviously, the number 9 pick, and you know, it feels like the number 1 isn't that exciting talk anymore because we know where that number 1 pick is going. It's all being solid now. Since the Justin Fields trade, it feels like everything just calmed down a little bit in terms of the quarterback and the number 1 pick. And obviously, the number 9 pick now becomes really important and interesting to talk about because, depending on where you read, the Bears are going to jump forward for Marvin Harrison Jr., they're going to drop back to get someone, or they're going to sit at 9 and get a second blue-chip player. For you, what do you kind of hope about? What do you think is the best kind of route for the Bears at number 9? Obviously, taking into account they only have the 4 draft picks, so Ryan Poles has been known to turn small amounts of draft picks into massive amounts of draft picks. So do you think that's something he'll continue with, or do you think the option of just getting another, even if it's only two or three players or 4 players to get in the draft, if they can come out with 2 really good players in the top 10, that maybe that's good enough for this season?
Well, I just think they're in such a good spot that you're going to be hard pressed if you're Ryan Poles to not make a good move here. The draft is so loaded, it feels like, here in the top 15, and it's unique in that you potentially could have 4 quarterbacks taken in the top 5. You potentially could have, you know, 3 wide receivers taken in the top 10 or even the top 9. And people, well, that happens every year. Well, no, it doesn't. I mean, the year that Kenny Pickett, the quarterback from Pittsburgh, was drafted, he was the first quarterback taken around 20. It wasn't like there was 4 quarterbacks that came off the board before Kenny Pickett. That was the best quarterback in that draft, you know, at least by a prospect standpoint or evaluation standpoint. And so the Bears, in a lot of ways, you know, are lucky about the front-loadedness of this draft, where you've got quarterbacks and wide receivers pushing the depth back, where if they decided to go defense at 9, they could end up having the top offensive player taken off the board and the number 1 defensive player taken off the board. Well, the Houston Texans did that last year, but they had to trade up to the number 2 pick to do that. They had to give up future draft equity to move up and get Will Anderson. So, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that Dallas Turner is Will Anderson, but at the same time, he'd be potentially the number one defensive player taken off the board if the Bears choose to take him at 9. So they can do the exact same thing Houston did, but do it at 9 instead of 2. So that's what I mean by they're in such a good spot. Personally, I'd draft a wide receiver. I would continue to pour gasoline on this Caleb Williams fire. You've got a quarterback prospect, and we want to make sure we don't mess this up if we're the Chicago Bears. Well, do everything you can to make sure it doesn't mess up. Even if you think that this dude's going to be great no matter what cards you deal him the heaviest hand you possibly can, and give this guy another weapon, or give this guy another offensive tackle. I see a lot of sense, common sense in both decisions, but to me, with DJ Moore's contract negotiations looming in a year, and he's going to get paid big money if you look at some of the wide receivers that have made money here this offseason, including Darnell Mooney, and the money he got for the Falcons, imagine what DJ Moore's going to get. Keenan Allen being on a one-year deal and some uncertainty as far as his future with the team. They need not just a wide receiver for this year, but they need to have that room secure over the next 5 years. And you saw what that did for Joe Burrow when you brought in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And yes, they, you know, obviously need offensive line help too, but at the same time, having those kind of weapons is almost propelled them to a Super Bowl championship here a couple years ago. And this team, I think, has a little more behind their roster right now than where the Bengals were at a few years ago. So, you know, to me, I would draft Rome Odunze if he falls to 9. If it's Malik Nabers that falls to 9, I'd, you know, and not Rome Odunze, I'd draft Malik Nabers. If they choose, if Ryan Poles is crazy enough to trade up a few spots and draft Marvin Harrison Jr., I wouldn't advise to do that. But if he were to do that, Bears fans are going to be parading through the streets with the type of prospect that Marvin Harrison Jr. is to pair him with Caleb Williams for the next 5 years. So that's what I would do. But in terms of wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive end, three technique, hell, even Brock Bowers, the top tight end prospect and somebody that people think is one of the better tight end prospects to ever come out of the draft, you know, all five of those positional options, or even trading back and adding a few more picks in the second round. Like I said, you'd be hard-pressed to show me one of those scenarios that isn't very good for the Bears. So, like, I mean, Ryan Poles has just done a masterclass job here in the last couple of years of putting the Bears in this opportunity.
No, absolutely, Greg. I'm glad I've been on record on a few of these things prior to talking to you, just in case people think I'm agreeing with you, just because you're the guest on and I'm trying to be nice. But I'm absolutely in lockstep with you. For me, if one of those three receivers fall, you take them. If Joe Alt somehow were to fall, which he won't, if he was an option, I would be taking him, because I would just be doing everything I could to get this offense right for this quarterback coming in. I mean, I think the defense obviously showed last season it can be good. I know we definitely have a hole at edge, and I think maybe that's something you could maybe find someone later on or patch it up with a free agent for the year and kind of look to next year and just hope Montez Sweat doesn't get injured. But I think if you can beef this offense up and really take advantage of the moves they've already made, for me, I think that's absolutely the way I'd be looking to go myself. But looking, just before I let you go there, Greg, looking at the NFC North as a whole now, what are realistic expectations for the Bears this year? Obviously, you look at what the Packers did last year. I think they kind of, they went above what most people thought they would do last season with a lot of young receivers and a quarterback we didn't really know how he was going to develop. We look at the Lions, and I mean, they were the blink of an eye away from a Super Bowl appearance and just kind of fell apart at the end. And then obviously the Vikings have a good setup. And if they can find a productive rookie quarterback like ourselves, they could also be a decent team going forward. So how do you see this NFC North going next season? And what's a realistic and fair kind of, you know, expectation for this Bears team in that season?
Well, last year I was very excited for the year and thought, you know, with the additions of Darnell Wright and DJ Moore in the draft class that it was coming in, you know, I thought the Bears could compete last year, and I was wrong on that. But, you know, I had picked the Bears to win 9 games, and that was a lofty expectation. Well, they ended up winning 7 after starting 0-4 on the year. They won 7, aside from the fact that they blew 3 games that they had over a 90% chance in the fourth quarter or less than 5 minutes to go to win the game. They should have won those games, 2 of which they had a 99% chance of winning at the final minutes of the game and somehow let the game slip out of their hand. Now, I'll grant you that they probably won a few games that maybe they shouldn't have. You know, the Vikings game in Minnesota, that was a coin flip game that the Bears came out on top. So sometimes those things even out. But as silly as 9 wins sounded, they won 7 games, and you could make the argument they could have won 8 or 9 games. So I don't think I was that far off from my expectations of last year's team that had a very flawed offense, that had their starting quarterback out for 35 days with an injury. You know, playing with Tyson Bagent as their backup quarterback, and they still were able to go 2-2 on that stretch. So now you're a year deeper into this team, into this defense, which really started to settle in the second half of the season with the arrival of Montez Sweat. They ended up leading the NFL in interceptions, and the majority of those turnovers came once Montez Sweat was here. So I think that defense is going to just continue to take another step as they continue to get comfortable with Matt Eberflus's philosophies. And then from the offensive standpoint, everything we've talked about personnel-wise and the new coaching staff coming in, like I said, being the biggest question on how they do from an executional standpoint. But at the end of the day, I think you could make an argument that with the arrival of Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, to what they already have talent-wise. And, oh, by the way, Caleb Williams, you know, I think you could make the argument that this Bears offense could be better than last year's offense fairly quickly. And that's not to say they'll be the best offense in the league, but better than what the Bears had last year. And so you start to put all that math together. And to me, I'm going to just continue to run back my win total expectation for last year. I said 9 last year. I'm going to say 9 again this year. And I think that's a good spot. And what I said last year was 9 wins, but anything less than 7 would, to me, last year would have been a massive disappointment. So I'll bump that up this year. 9 wins, but anything less than 8 wins for me will be a massive disappointment, because I think they should be able to take another step as a team and win more games than they did last year and fight for a playoff spot deeper into December than they did last year. And, hey, if Caleb Williams ends up being the guy we all hope he is, maybe the Bears find themselves in the playoffs this year. And I don't think that's an unreasonable or unrealistic, you know, expectation or chance of happening. So I'm excited to see if it'll play out that way.
Absolutely. No, I certainly don't think it's unrealistic anyway. I think year 3 into this rebuild now, you know, we had the 3-win season, we had the 7, and I think it is time. Maybe the expectations are there for this team to push on with the moves they've made and everything they've done. But again, look, as a Bears fan, it's exciting to kind of follow this. You know, if you can't enjoy this, well, you know, what's the point? You know, that kind of way. This team is clearly getting better and is making the right moves. Greg, really appreciate you taking the time to jump on. Before you go, if you want to let the guys know where they can find you, and if yourselves and the guys in CHEO, what you have coming up and stuff that the guys should maybe keep their eye out for.
Yeah, you know, obviously follow us over at CHGO underscore Bears on Twitter, CHGO Sports on YouTube. We cover all Chicago sports, including the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox. We're in the middle of baseball season now. It's a lot of fun. You know, summer in Chicago, there's no better summer city in the world, in my opinion. So this is a fun time here in Chicago, and we cover all the sports there at CHGO. And if you follow my personal account, you'll get some meatball takes at T Braggs Jr. 23. But, you know, I always enjoy talking to you, Noel, and all the international fans. And, you know, I was at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium a few years ago when the Bears lost to the Raiders, and CHGO Bears is going to be back out in London for the game this upcoming season when the Bears travel across the pond. So if you're over there, come meet up with us. We're having some fun there, and you know, there's ways to sign up to do some different events with us at allchgo.com. So check those things out. And if you want to hang out, I'll buy you a pint.
Sounds good. I'll definitely be over there. So I'll be giving you and the boys a shout before that game, and we can sort something out. But again, Greg, really appreciate you jumping on. And thanks to everyone for watching. And please do like and subscribe and keep your eye out on the show, because, you know, like Greg and the boys, we've a lot of content coming up pre and post draft. And, you know, it's just going to be a packed time. So until next time, take care. Thanks.